Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 24th, 2014. And with me today, I have, I believe, partners in crime, although we will plead the fifth. Kelly Goumont, how are you, Kelly?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. And John Martellaro, I hope you are well, John.
Yep. Staying out of trouble, though.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's too bad.
Yeah. So sorry to hear that.
I just spend my whole day sitting in front of this Mac.
Keeps me
out of trouble.
Keeps you trim and fit.
Yeah. Hardly.
Yeah. Hey, that turned out to be an unintentional segue. I just realized.
Just handed it to you on a silver platter there, Jim.
Man, I was going to say, yeah.
And I totally picked up what you were putting down. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to talk about today is the news that just came out from Nike's, or Nike. How do you guys say it?
Nike.
Okay, from Nike's CEO that his company is, in fact, collaborating with Apple. They've teamed up to develop new wearable technology.
Cahoots.
Cahoots, indeed. And they aren't, or he isn't elaborating on exactly what that involves, but he used terms like stealth, and that leads me to believe that what he's looking at and what Apple is looking at is a way to create a design for some sort of fitness health tracking device that is less obtrusive than what's available today, and specifically less obtrusive than the soon-to-be-released Apple Watch.
Oh, the Nike patch.
The Nike patch. It's kind of funny you should say that, because I have found companies that have developed patch-like sensors that fit into your clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, on one hand, really funny, and on the other hand, how prescient.
Well, I remember when we were having conversations about wearables initially, Jeff, you were talking about clothes that had some sort of capability for something like a pocket or a little zippy area where you could tuck a sensor so that it would just be with you all the time. And maybe that's the thing they're talking about is, because remember, Nike was in the wearable business until very recently. Maybe they've realized that people don't want to wear, maybe they've realized two things. Number one, if people are going to wear an Apple Watch, they're not going to wear other stuff with it. And maybe B, even if they don't wear an Apple Watch, not everybody wants to haul around a thing on their arm. So maybe they're trying to find another way to do that, which Nike did used to do with the little Nike Plus sensor that you could tuck into your sneakers.
I remember that. And actually, I used one of those extensively.
And it used to hook to your iPod.
Yeah. I started using it back in the days before the Bluetooth receiver was built into your iPod. So I had to plug the dongle into the bottom of my iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it worked just fine, and it wasn't obtrusive at all. And I'm really intrigued by the possibility of Apple and Nike creating something that we can wear all the time and is almost as if it's not even there.
This is the serendipity thing of the Apple Watch. You know, when you first started looking at these watches like the Samsung Gear, you know, they were kind of nerdy breath, and you were wondering how they really applied to our lives. Now we're in a situation, Kelly, you're helping me with new neural pathways. Mm-hmm. Now we're in a situation where the Apple Watch hasn't even shipped yet, and we're talking about how the rest of the world is going to fit in with it. It's amazing.
Because the rest of the world is already reacting to it.
Yeah, they're reacting to it and figuring out what their place is.
And it isn't even out. People
what
who
place
remember.
Is gonna be.
Yeah. Yeah. People who remember what I like to call the dark times, sometimes referred to as the beleaguered era of being an Apple fan. This is a fascinating turn of events. This is very weird and very neat And it feels very vindicating in a way to have stuck with Apple through all of that, to come out now to a thing where Apple has a thing that nobody actually probably realistically needs. And yet, even though all Apple has done is talk about it, everyone else is trying to figure out how to respond to the thing that Apple's gonna do.
Those companies that have the money and resources like Nike, they're going to get on board and they're going to help Apple. And they're going to have a vision that corresponds with Apple and sinks in and meshes with the future. And then there's going to be companies that are going to say, oh, we're so screwed. We're going to take our marbles and go home.
I really hope they're not sinking using iTunes.
Ouch. Yeah, you know, I look at this as another example of Apple doing what they have done so well, which is not to be first into a market, but to watch and see what everyone does wrong and then come up with something that's very intriguing and powerful and useful in a way that their competitors have not been able to manage.
Well, you know, Jeff, that's what IBM did for years. You know, when I was working in the government business with computers and VAXes and IBM computers, Digital Equipment Corporation was the darling of the government computing scientists. We all had our VAXes. And Digital Equipment Corporation would come up with cool stuff that would kind of almost infringe on IBM patents because it was compatible with IBM equipment, like storage devices and so on. And then IBM would wait and wait and wait and watch, and then they'd come out with blow a deck out of the water. So this is a very IBM-ish thing for Apple to be doing.
Well, maybe they've taken a page from IBM's book now that they're all partnered up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and this is something that Apple's been doing for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's how we got the iPhone. That's how we got
you made an MP3 player. That's cute.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that I see to be really different in this case is that Apple is proactively teaming up with another company to make sure that they're developing products that are going to be the dominant players.
Mm-hmm. And here's what's interesting to me about this is that for Apple to be in cahoots with Nike, which, yes, is how they say it here, and I know a number of Nike employees who all say Nike, so I'm going to go with that, because they're just over there. I'm pointing. The interesting thing to me about this is that we've even seen the jokes about doubling down on secrecy, but for Apple to be in cahoots with Nike, they have to let Nike into the cone of silence or, you know, whatever it is. And they're going to have to learn that secret handshake that we saw at the Apple event. So I think it's...
When Eddie Q failed.
I know.
It's the foot part that keeps catching me up.
Yeah, I don't know how they got the TMO secret handshake in order to get into Apple. But anyway... I think it's really interesting to listen to them talk about doubling down on secrecy and then have these partnerships with other companies, which just opens them up to a whole nother front on which somebody could leak stuff. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting note. But I can't wait to see what they do.
You made me think about, Kelly, is that we're in phase one now where companies are saying to themselves, what resources do we have? How can we align with Apple? How can we leverage off of this? How can we have a vision of the future? But you know, part two is going to be, we haven't even seen yet. After it ships, the Apple Watch, people are going to start doing amazing things with it that we hadn't anticipated. And then that's going to drive the market as well, too.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be absolutely fascinating. And I'm really excited to see what happens once Apple Watch hits store shelves. I'm also fascinated to see what happens with the other side of what you just brought up, John, which is companies strategizing how can we align ourselves with Apple and how can we make our products work better with Apple products. And then you have companies that are like, yeah, whatever. We're just going to watch and see, and we don't see any need to adapt to.
You have somebody in mind?
I have someone very much in mind. I'm thinking about Fitbit. And the whole thing with Fitbit right now is very concerning to me because I've been a longtime Fitbit fan and Fitbit advocate. Very vocal supporter. I mean, I directly credit a substantial portion of the 60 pounds that I lost and have been keeping off to the fact that I bought a Fitbit product. And their decision to not embrace HealthKit is very concerning to me, because here I see the big player deciding to cut themselves out of the big game. And I worry that Fitbit is going to lose their relevance in the health and fitness tracking market.
And right now, they're kind of the Apple of the tracking market, because everybody kind of, I mean, at least it seems to me when I talk to people aside from, you know, folks I podcast with and that sort of thing, when I go out in the world and talk to people in the world, regular folks who don't spend all their time in, you know, engaged in technology and just sort of use it as part of their lives, lots of people have a Fitbit. And even if you don't have a Fitbit, lots of people know what it is. They have a variety of price points because they have like the $50 tracker all the way up to the wristband, the Force, I think it's called, the wristband one. They have the Fitbit one that's kind of in between, and they've continued to evolve these products. They had the one that clipped onto stuff, and when it turned out the clip wasn't the greatest, they went to a different model. They give you a way to track your sleep, which still nobody else is able to do accurately from what I can understand. Cause I too have a Fitbit, and I don't have, any of the other ones, but I know that, the thing that tracks your steps and the thing that tracks your sleep, the only people nailing all of that in one device is Fitbit. And Fitbit not just came out and said, this is the part that stymies me, which is probably the part, Jeff, that's confusing to you as well. Apple came out and said, yeah, HealthKit, it's a thing, and here you go. And lots of companies who wanted to get in on that, like, what are they called? Runkeeper and MyFitnessPal and those kind of folks, they all said, Withings, they all said, we're just hearing about this just like you, but we're looking into it. We're going to try and find a way to integrate. We want to be partnered up with the other stuff that you already have. You know, people have an iPhone, they're going to be excited about HealthKit. And not only did Fitbit not come out and say it's a thing we're looking into, they never once intimated that they're even investigating it. They're basically like, yeah, we know. And
well, you know what I suspect happens in cases like this? I just a guess, a gut feeling is that everybody wants to get on board, and some companies have different ways of reacting to the discussions with Apple. And so you sit down with Apple and say, oh, we're really excited about HealthKit and Apple Watch, and we want to get on board. And Apple says, well, here's what you have to do. And then your smile kind of weakens a little bit, and then Apple says, well, this is what's going to have to happen, and here's the rules, and here's the security procedures, and here's how you have to comply with certain standards and so on. And then by the time the meeting's over, people are going, I don't like this at all.
Well, but the thing is, it's not like Fitbit's trying to be part of the watch. They're just trying to be a developer, just like all the other people
I know
who have the ability to do so.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I'm wondering if there's something that happened behind the scenes.
That's my question.
And I'm basing this in part on the fact that when Apple showed us HealthKit at WWDC, the company they highlighted was Fitbit.
When you name names and you only name one and it's Fitbit, and now Fitbit is like, yeah, we know HealthKit is a thing. Kaseya.
Yeah. And that concerns me as well, because if this was a situation where Fitbit was like, oh, yeah, we're looking at that, but, you know, we already have our own HealthKit-like integrated system, and they do, and it works really well. But, you know, we've already got this. We don't need to reinvent it through HealthKit. We're fine with what we have. I'd be like, okay, they just haven't caught on, and hopefully this will work out, and they'll get on board.
Which is still not what they said.
Which is still not what they said. But if it's something where Apple and Fitbit had been in talks about making something happen, and ultimately Fitbit did exactly what John just laid out in his scenario, okay, that's bad, because that means Fitbit probably isn't going to get on board. And they haven't been talking to me recently, so I haven't been able to get any more information to figure out what's happening, and that kind of concerns me too. Yeah.
So that's the part that I'm almost more concerned about, is that they're not saying anything anymore.
Right.
Like, so, beyond that, if that first statement, they're not even like, nobody's trying to walk it back. They're not even coming out and saying, we know about HealthKit and we're not interested in supporting it because we've got this other system that we're already invested in and all set up with. You know, they're not saying any of that kind of stuff, which
circling
to me
their
is
wagons,
almost,
figuring out what they're going to do.
And I think, and the thing that lends credence to that theory is that we've also heard that Fitbit products are on their way out of the Apple Store. I'm not sure if they're in line in front or behind Bose, but they're out. And so I'm wondering, I really do think that there's more to this story, and I really hope that we get some transparency from Fitbit on this soon, that they at least come out and say it's because we're invested in this other system, or they come out and say that they possibly could.
They're not going to come out with any kind of admission at this point that would undermine or hurt them in regard to what the snafu just happened. So there's going to be a long pause while they regroup and figure out what's going
to
happen. They're not
going to
be transparent until that happens.
Well, I need to hear something from them, because if they're not in the Apple Store anymore, I mean, first of all, what's going to happen to the app? Like, am I still going to be able to get a Fitbit app if there's this big of a gap between, you know, if there's this huge rift in the Fitbit Apple relationship? Are they going to pull the app so that I can't sync it to my phone anymore? Because it was a pain in the neck to sync it to my computer. I was really excited when I could sync it to my phone. And what's going to happen, like, with name recognition? You know, you can still kind of see them other places, but they were sort of, you know, when there's not a lot of products in the Apple Store and you're one, that gets you a certain amount of attention. And the way this is going, if they're going to continue down this road and it sort of feels like they're just kind of bailing on Apple out of spite, like, it's going to turn them into the BlackBerry of wearables.
I love it.
And that would be a bad thing.
BlackBerry wearables.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm a dyed-in-the-wolf Fitbit user and fan and advocate.
As am I, and it's because I know you.
And there you go. I mean, we're feeding off of each other, and we're both excited about this. And I am now looking at whether or not I should be experimenting more with the Withings Pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Because
or any
Withings
of the other
is on
things.
Board with HealthKit.
Yeah, the Shine.
Yeah, I need
didn't
to talk to the
talk
Shine
about
people.
HealthKit? And
yeah.
You know, like, here's the thing: is that last Christmas I bought my mom a Fitbit. I bought her the inexpensive one, the Zip, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I bought her one of those. She likes it. She used it until she fell and broke her hip. She doesn't really have a lot of steps to track these days. Because she had surgery like 2 weeks ago, but she was using it to track her steps. This last spring, she got an iPhone, and so one of the first things we did was set it up so that she had the Fitbit information on there, and she could always track her stuff. And she was really excited about the fact that they worked together, and it was one of the first examples she had of consolidating that. And this was before iOS 8 and everything else. It was one of the first examples she had of consolidating that data from something else, syncing another device, you know, being able to sort of collate all that information in one place. She dug it. And so now I'm kind of bummed almost that I'm starting to feel like she's stuck with a Fitbit. And so, like, you know, inevitably everybody seems to lose one. So if she were to lose it and you know, when she went to replace it, like, I don't know that I would suggest a Fitbit to her a second time.
And that's concerning right there. When advocates like us are second guessing whether or not we should recommend our favorite product to someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you fix this Fitbit. Please, please, please.
Yes. And I hope I can get a communication going with them again soon, because I'd really like to be able to tell people what's going on. And if it's not a big deal and everything's going to work out fine, I'd like to let people know.
Me too.
Yeah. Hey, we are totally out of time.
Oh,
I know. It happens every day. So, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course.
And John, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely.
It's always great to get the insights that both of you bring into my life. And everyone have an awesome weekend.
That's because we're the wizards and the guru.
That's true. That's true. All right. Have an awesome weekend.